so thankful for God's grace. We want to continue to remember Nathan. He's back in the hospital. The Lord will undertake. I feel very sensitive in my heart today for what the Lord's speaking. Sometimes we can, when we pray about things and about people, we get to where we just say words, but we don't allow it to touch our heart deeply. When we prayed for people in Japan, I feel a tremendous thing of what difference it makes that if we're a people that do pray. But you almost have to take a moment like the prophet of old and say, I sat where they sat, and I was amazed. Please allow the Lord to touch you with the affirmatives or the feelings of others, because that's what touches him. And that's what will stir up passion in your heart. And you'll pray differently. You'll pray like your prayer really does make a difference. And I want to tell you, it does. Now, if you don't think it does, it won't. But the reality is that you pray to a God that hears and answers. And if you don't know any slick, smooth prayers, that doesn't matter. You just talk to God. You be real so he can get real. And as we share as a family, I'm always thankful that we can learn and grow by the grace of God, learn about his love and experience it and walk it out every day. And I'm going to talk to you on a message today in times like these, and an understanding of being able to understand what God wants to speak by his Spirit to the church. And again, not denomination, organization, but a revelation of what Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that you and I would understand that he's talking about people like you and me. And you might think, well, I'm not that great. I'm not either. But I want to tell you what, we have a great God. Amen? That's what it's all about. If we get mixed up about that, we'll do one of two things. We'll either sell ourselves short or we get some kind of pride that causes us to miss the reality of who God's made us to be. And the Holy Spirit so wants to open our eyes to an understanding. Listen, there's 318 references in the Bible about the return of the Lord. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. The Lord will return. What you see happening in the Middle East is the timetable of the world and the things that are stirred up. Things that you see happening all around the world right now and the stirring that's there among people. Please know that in the mix of that, God wants to touch people and help them and give them what they're really looking for. They'll never find it in government. They'll never find it in political power. They'll never find it in things. But they'll find it in the grace of God. That's why the church has to be the church and understand who we are. The problem in the world today, as the church goes, so goes the world, if you really understand what the church is. If you only understand the church being an organization and domination, and we believe this and they believe that, and we get all mixed up about the things that divide us instead of understanding how to let that develop us and be who we're called to be, and we may be different, but those differences can develop us, and there's no compromise but no condemnation in connecting together as the body of Christ. So I want to talk to you about in times like these. How many remember the old song, in times like these we need a Savior? And in times like these we have an anchor, and that anchor holds, and it's connected to the solid rock of Jesus Christ. How many of you remember that song? It kind of dates you a little bit. You have to go back a ways. It's an old-time hymn. But I promise you, these are the times that we need to know about the love of Christ. So if you'd walk in the Word with me today, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, and then I'm going to Proverbs chapter 29. And I want to share with you, my heart is so fresh in what I feel the Holy Spirit wants to speak, because I just returned from meetings in California, and Pastor John and I were there for cabinet meetings. We met with leaders from across the nation. We met with missionaries and praying for what God will do. So thankful that last year we saw 2.5 million people come to the love of Jesus Christ through the efforts of what we've done in over 140 nations of the world. Thankful we can have just a little part of sharing the great heart of Jesus Christ. And so I'm really stirred in my spirit about that, but there's great challenges that lay before us. And what we see happening in our nation right now, of the unrest that's there, and all the turmoil you see. Right now, usually when you turn on your TV and you look at most of the news, people are upset and mad. Right now, we need to know the good news of the gospel, and it's about a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, beginning with verse 32, it says, "The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times." Again, 1 Chronicles 12, 32. "The children of Issachar," and these are men that are in leadership. "They had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. And it says, O Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war and all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, and they were not double-hearted. It's so necessary that we get a singular focus and a singular heart for what God wants to do, and it must be his heart. Matter of fact, it tells us that as they followed through with that, they had a perfect heart. That is, they allowed God to adjust it. You'll find that in verse 38. And then you'll find in verse 40, it says, there was joy in Israel. I want to tell you, when you obey the Lord and what he has to say, no matter what's going on around us, we can have a joy that the world didn't give and they can't take it from us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I want you to go with me in Proverbs, because it's so important that we keep a correct vision about what God is doing in the world today. It says there, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. We're back to that joy and that strength that God can give. I really love to hear some good news once in a while. But listen, when you get into the Bible, it's good news all the time if you really define what God has to say. And I always tell people, read the end of the book. We win. It doesn't look like it when we're going through some things. And we go through some battles and struggles. I don't mind struggles if we come out with some strengths. I don't mind if we go through things that are difficult and hard. I listen to people many times that lock into circumstances and problems and situations. And what I always look for when I listen to that, do you have a way out of this? Do you have something for the future? Or are you just so focused on the problem that you don't understand to get beyond that and in a process that's going to give you a future and a hope? Because you can lock yourself in and you'll end up defeating yourself because you don't know what to do. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to shine in and shine through and help us. No, when we understand about this life, and if we can get things from an eternal perspective and get eternalized, and we're approaching Easter to give us that kind of perspective, it's so important that we understand in times like these that we get the right perspective and the understanding that we need in our heart. You know, I think about Jay's graduation to glory, and I was there with the family in the emergency room when Jay first went in and experienced the physical attack that came against him. And as I knelt there beside him and began to pray, I felt he was closer to heaven than to earth. He was closer to heaven than he was to earth. And it was almost like, I think the Lord said to Jay, I think we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't we just go home? And there was a bit of a struggle because he doesn't want to leave his family just like any of us. But I'm so glad to know that, even as Pastor Jim Jr. said last week in his sermon, he said that, really, God breathed in the man the breath of life, but it's just a loaner. He loans us that breath. It's on loan, and he's going to take it back sometimes. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, nobody gets out of this life alive. You got to go on to greater life. Amen? But the good news is God doesn't take anybody by death. I want to tell you, at the moment they said that Jay was gone, you knew right where he was. He didn't leave home, he went home. The reality of the fact that the last heartbeat in his body became the first heartbeat of heaven, the last breath in this body became the first breath of heaven in a brand new body. That's the hope that we have. As I met with men and women there in L.A., and we talked and shared together, one of my dear friends, Agabus, he's from Nigeria, and I just love him. He's kind of like a Binga. I think everybody's wonderful in Africa because I think they're all like Binga. And so Agabus and I, we really connect, and we've had a good relationship over the years. He has a tremendous church, and he's from somewhere around Nigeria. I don't know just where there. And as I talked with him at the airport, Agabus looked at me, and he said, I said, well, how are you, and what's happening? And he said, well, Jim, he said, My dear wife went home to be with the Lord this last year. And he said it so kindly and tenderly, I hardly caught it, but it just impacted my heart. Because it's almost like I feel like that can't happen to you. But it does happen. The battles that are in this life are real. I talk with other brothers, and the battles are going through, and some are standing up there and leading great works. In the meantime, their mate's going through a great battle with cancer. But I'm thankful there's something greater than all our circumstances, and we cannot be captured by circumstances unless we allow that to be. There's something about the power of the Spirit, not hype, but a living hope that helps us and gives us strength no matter what we're going through. There's a grace if we'll embrace it. And the Holy Spirit wants us to know, in times like these, we really do need to know we have a Savior. Not just need a Savior, we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Now, at the times that you don't feel like saying that, and times you don't feel like calling out the Lord, that's when you need to do it most. You know, when you're high and happy, that's no big deal. But when you're down and feeling the real dealing blows of death and life, you can understand to come and lift your heart to the one that understands you better than you do yourself. You can come to the one that can move in the midst of the greatest darkness and bring life and love and hope. And that's what we want to do to every person and bring to every person,
bring that hope
and that grace. In times like these, we need to have that Savior that can lead us and guide us. He directs our steps, and he wants to be able to lead us in a world that makes all the difference. In a time that the world is being rocked, he wants to be the solid rock. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "Yet a little while, and I will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." Now again, when God shakes a nation, it isn't that he hits like we do. If you're going to strike a man, we hit. God removes his hand because we make a choice that we don't want him involved. That can happen to an individual. It can happen to a nation. But always God wants to shake and awaken us so that we come back to him, that we would not stray away but understand his great love. There's another kind of awakening that he brought in the early church that he wants to bring today. This is the kind of shaking and awakening that God wants to bring to every heart, to every church, to every life. He wants you to experience what it was in Acts 4:31 when it said they prayed and the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. And multitudes believed and were one heart and one soul. People were healed and delivered and set free by the power of the Spirit of God. That's the kind of earthquake God wants to bring about. He wants to shaken us and awaken us, not to all the problems and pressures of life, but the greatness of the Spirit of the living God in the mix of that, that can bring healing and hope. There's 1,000 things that can break the human soul, but there's only one that can make it whole, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, when I go to a meetings, there's two kind of meetings I don't like to be in. I don't like to be in a meeting where nothing's happening, and you're just so bored, you're having a hard time staying awake. And then I don't like to be in meetings where something's happening, because then I don't always know what to do. And I want to promise you, we were in meetings where something was happening. And there was a demand for a response. And there was a demand that we hear the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. And there was a demand that we hear one another. And that we begin to speak. And if we didn't understand everything, that we would get it out. And we would process it together. And we would struggle together and come out with strength to hear what God had to say. And listen to one another and hear the Spirit speaking through one another. On Tuesday, we went from 8 in the morning till I think almost 8 o'clock that night. We didn't take bathroom breaks. If you needed to go, go. We didn't break for supper. We did get a little lunchtime in. But I'll tell you, it was a time of pressing in to hear the Spirit of God and what he had to say. It was a time of hearing the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit, not only for our nation, but around the world. Missionaries gathering together and being able to hear what God has to say. And when we got done, we prayed for Jim Scott, who's the head of our missions department. And I want to tell you, God has raised up such an exceptional thing that you and I get to be a part of in reaching people in over 140 nations of the world. But as we laid hands on Jim and I began to pray for him, and in my heart, I saw this revelation. I saw the anointing oil of the Spirit of God flowing down over that man in such a way that it came over him as oil. But it was oil that lit a lamp of fire that began to fall down across him. And everywhere he would walk, there would be footsteps of fire that would be there. And those footsteps of fire would burn up anything the devil would try to do. But there were footsteps of fire that would bring the warmth of the love of God to people all around this world. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God is going to be poured out. There's going to be a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, not in some weird way, but in a wonderful way that reveals the love of God, because people are hurting and God hears them. He hears them and he doesn't analyze. He agonizes because he loves us so much. Please always remember, it was our God that said, "I love you so much, I'd rather die than live without you." And he did it on that cross tree of Calvary. When we understand and we comprehend that kind of love, we can get ready for what God wants to do to shake us and awaken us. In the book of Romans, it says it's high time to awaken. That's what time it is, to awaken to what God wants. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're the salt of the earth. How many of you have ever been on a salt-free diet? Aren't they exciting? I want to tell you, I have a hard time now because they took a lot of the salt out of the soup. Did you notice that? When you buy soup now, it's not as salty as it was. I put some more salt in there. But you're called the salt of the earth. Now, how do you get salt out of the shaker? You shake it, don't you? Amen? Would you just look at the person next to you and say, "Get ready to meet your shaker." All right. Now, You say, Pastor, that just being silly. No, I want to tell you, God would like to shaken and awaken us in a way that what's in us gets out of us. Because you don't know. The Apostle Paul said it this way, your living epistle is known and read of all men. Many people never read the Bible. They'll look at you. They'll make a decision about Jesus Christ based on what you do. They'll make a decision about church based on what you do. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to awaken our heart, and that we won't be so busy counting the cost about being a Christian. We're willing to pay the price. You know, sometimes I like mountain-moving faith where we have a tremendous problem, we pray, and God takes it away. But I've lived long enough now to know that sometimes you have to climb mountains. Sometimes you have to get up to the summit, and you have to take it step by step and little by little and get up where God wants and get a new view of what God can do. But that can cost you something. There's people who pay a great price to do that in the physical form, and we need to do it in the spiritual. You know, the highest mountain, Mount Everest, is 29,035 feet. I don't know if you're aware of this, but between 1,000 and 1,600 people have climbed to the summit of Mount Everest. That's been over a period of years since 1921 that people have done that. 160-plus people have died climbing that mountain. That's 1 out of 8. Now, if I was to say to you, we're going to climb a mountain today, 1 out of 8 of you are going to die, but don't worry about that. We're going to get to the top. You'd really think about that. I want you to think about the commitment that people will make to be part of a group that can say we reached the summit of a mountain. And yet, how many times we kind of recoil and hold back of really giving ourselves? We're so busy counting the cost of being a Christian sometimes, we never get around to paying the price. We never really understand what it is that we should have a joy of being able to give our life for Jesus Christ. And to know that, too, as we go through this process, it is a real battle. We have to be careful. There's a real deal that happens as we walk out this life. Climbing a mountain's not easy. And most people don't lose their life climbing the mountain. They lose their life coming down the mountain. Because somehow as we are ascending, we are strengthened and focused, but when we're coming down, we lose that focus. May I say that the church has come down and lost its focus in many areas, and so many times because of that, we've lost the kind of life that Jesus talked about within the body of Christ. And God so wants to awaken and shake in our hearts and bring us back to those high and holy times that we really understand what a great God we have and what an awesome God that wants to work in our lives. And so in times like these, we have to get beyond our comfort zone. I talked to you in our message recently about the fact of coming out of your comfort zone to your courageous zone. And those are choices we have to make. I like comfort just like you do. But to come into the courageous zone, be strong and of good courage. Have not I commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Tells you there's going to be some battles. There's going to be some things to be afraid of. If there's nothing to be afraid of, you don't need courage. But I believe the Holy Spirit is going to awaken our hearts to the reality of coming out of our comfort zones. Because, listen, there you just become a cotton candy Christian. And any heat that happens from hell is going to melt you. We become almost bunny believers. We just kind of hop around. But we never settle down and become rooted and grounded in the love of God. We have a consumer mentality about church and about Christ rather than an understanding of the highest form of living is giving. I pray God awaken our hearts. Help us understand 1.8 million or 8 billion people. 1.8 billion people in the world today have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. What does that do to our hearts? Do we care? Do we have a passion about those people? And God wants us to understand. He looks to the church to plunder hell, to populate heaven. You and I have that responsibility and that privilege. I think about walking in the light as he's in the light. Then we have fellowship with one another. How the Lord desires that. I read about Dr. Billy Graham holding one of the greatest meetings that had ever been in California. This is going back to 1963. This was in Los Angeles. And there in the stadium, they packed in 134,000 people. And it was such a tremendous move of the Spirit of God. There was hundreds and thousands that came forth in that altar call. And there were people that rejoiced. And then there was other people thought, we don't need that. You know, we're more educated than that. You don't have to get out and make a public stand. You don't have to, this is way too much. Matter of fact, some of the leaders, religious leaders of that day, said to Billy Graham, Billy, you have set the church back 100 years. And Billy Graham said this. He said, I'm sorry. I meant to set it back 2,000 years. In the meetings we were just in, we went back to our future. We went back to an understanding of what it is to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. We went back to the basics of what it is to be people that hasn't got it all figured out with their head, but they got a hearty relationship with God. They know what it is to be filled with the Spirit and to share the love of Jesus Christ. Listen, God wants you to use your mind, not remove your mind. Your mind to renew and begin to think right according to the Word and make a difference in the world. And God wants to bless you and help you, but He'll take you back to times that you were so in love with Jesus that you never felt like you had to go to church. You got to go to church. There was an excitement in it. That you were able to read the Bible and understand it. There was an excitement in that. When you start getting excited about a relationship with God again, I promise you it'll affect every other relationship. I'll tell you what, your wife will wonder what you're up to. Men, if you really get excited about Jesus and let revival of relationships happen with the Lord, it'll affect your relationship in your home. And all of a sudden, men will see a wife to come alive because there's something about relating to the Lord that brings an understanding of what true relationship is all about, what God intended it to be. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to see that resurrection for the fullness and the hope and the love that God has for every one of our hearts. God wants us to understand that. And that takes discipleship. We have to come to a point where we discipline self. You see, if you don't discipline yourself, you'll always be responding to your impulses rather than your true image, who you really are. How many of us do that? We just react. We don't respond. We react. Then we respond, well, now that I think about it, but it's too late. I want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit help you get to the point that you live out of your identity of who you're called to be according to the Word of God. That's why we called our meeting with the men. It's man of God, an understanding of who you are, an understanding of who God's made you to be, and that we begin to live that out. You have to find out about self, because this old serpent of self will slip, slide around, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Your flesh will always look for the easy way, the comfort zone. It will never seek out the things that are difficult. I read to you this last time we spoke about the comfort zone. Most of us live our entire life as strangers to ourselves. We know more about others than we do about ourselves. Why? Because it's easier, and we think it's safer. But trying to do that amounts to forfeiting our spiritual birthright. It's not just that we lie to ourselves, we lose ourselves. And there's so many people today that will end up at the end of life and wonder what it's been about, never finding themselves. Listen, if you can't find yourself, you'll never be able to do what the Apostle Paul said, present yourself as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to come to that point of seeing how that will work in your heart and in your life. I'd like you to just declare something with me. And I would hope this becomes a process in our life. God so wants us to get to the point where we understand His will, His word, and His works in our life. And so would you just say this with me? Lord, today I bind my mind to your word, your will, and your way. Now, I'd encourage you to do that first part of every day. Just start your day. How many of you, you may not remember doing this. I can remember doing it as a kid. You got up and took off and you had shoes that needed to be tied up. You didn't bother to tie them up and you tripped over your own feet. Anybody do that? I've done that in my life where I just, Lord, I wish I'd have taken time today to ask you to help me walk in this way. I trip over my own feet, or I put my own foot in my mouth. And God, by the Spirit, wants us to be able to set the day in a way that we know that I will and I can and I must bind my mind to what His Word is. And what His will is, and what His works are. Because when God's glorified, that's when I'll be satisfied. That's when I'll know peace that passes understanding. There's no greater success in this life than know that you've done the will of the living God. My biggest sin is when I allow self to offend. The person I get offended at most is right here, the person I saw in the mirror this morning. I don't need anybody else to get offended. Jesus said, you will be offended. It isn't a matter of if, it's just when. And what will you do when you're offended? You either get mended, or it becomes an offense, it becomes offense that separates you from other people. And the Apostle Paul said this, I exercise myself to have a good conscience, void of offense toward God or man. I'm not going to be offended at anybody. Some people get offended at God. They won't fess up to it, but they're so disappointed in that. And listen, when you deal with God, He's got a perfect track record, but when we deal with one another, it's not so good. How many of you have been hurt by others? Now, by what they've said, by what they've done. I think probably all of us in different ways. Disappointed, our expectations weren't met, And if you've lived more than 20 minutes, that's probably happened. There are just things that disappoint you about people. And one of the things I want to do with our men and our man of God meetings and getting together and looking forward to this next meeting and what God will do is that we get in smaller circles and we learn to share too and begin to process life with one another. That's so important that we're able to do that. And I thank God that we've had meetings now where we've had 50, 60, 80, 115, and then 80-some men again this last time. Thank God for that. But we want to learn to process life together in every way. But I want to say this carefully. When you do that, please build into that. There's going to be some problems. I got problems. You got problems. All God's children got problems. And some of those problems, when we share with one another, becomes a thing where you'll find out how imperfect people are, and sometimes they'll disappoint you. Matter of fact, I was reading about three pastors that were out in a boat, and they've been doing this fishing trip now for quite some time where they go out and fish on a Saturday and share with one another. And so they decided, well, they're getting to a level of relationship that they could begin to process some of the things, their problems in their life. And one of the pastors says, you know, I really feel like I need to share this with you guys. I hate to say this, but you know, when it's Communion Sunday and we have the sacramental wine, I go in and I take a big glass of it instead of a little glass. And, you know, I really shouldn't do that. So he shared that. Well, the other guy said, you know what? He said, I'm really ticked off at my deacons. He said, they just try to deacon me to death. And I've had it with those deacons, you know. I just need to confess that. And the third pastor said, oh, he said, my problem's gossip. And he said, I can't wait to get off this boat. Well, now, if that problem happens, please don't pigeonhole that third person forever. Because sometimes we do things and we give opportunity to this and it doesn't work out. And then we say, I tried that and I'll never do that again. Please don't do that. You have to allow the love of the Lord to enlarge you. And if you're going to learn to trust, you have to be vulnerable and you have to be willing to get hurt. Amen? If you're not willing to get hurt by people, God can never use you to reach people because that hurt's always going to happen. It's there. Jesus is our example of that. In times like these, we need one another and we're going to pay a price for it. But be willing to do that and be willing to get over some of the hurts and let God heal you. It isn't always about being right. It's about being righteous. And he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Let that work in your heart and life, and God will help us in a special way. You know, I think sometimes when we have problems with people and we don't know what to do, we need to be able to see through those things in a different way. When I was there at our conference, one of the young men that I saw, and I so rejoiced to see this young man, he was with us several years ago as a teenager. And he came from Colorado, the Columbine school there where the shooting took place. And Peter and another young lady came here and shared with us because they were there on that day that the shooting took place. You'll remember Daryl Scott was here with us also. He's the father of Rachel Scott, who was killed that day. Rachel is the young lady who was asked by the shooter, do you believe in God? And she said, yes. And he said, go be with him. And he shot her. His son was crouching beneath the counter, and the shooter pointed a gun at him, but did not take his life. And Daryl shared with us about the fact that that day when he arrived, one of his children had gone to heaven and one was spared. There's a miracle in both aspects. And I'll reflect back on that in just a moment. But Peter was there that day and another young lady that shared here. And since then, now Peter has become a pastor. And just 29 years old, and he's pastoring a church and doing well. And I was talking with him and sharing with him. And as I was talking to Peter, I said, how's it going, Peter? Because I know the church, I know the pastor where he took over and is working there. And he said, oh, it's going great in that. But he knows me well, and we share together. And he said, I need to tell you, though, Pastor Jim, he said, before I left, he said, I had a counseling session with a lady, and he said, she screamed at me for about a half hour. I said, she did. Yeah. I said, now, Peter, here's what I want to say to you. Be sure when that happens, you just don't take that in. You listen. That person's mouth is the mirror. They'll show you what spirit's on them. They'll speak their spirit. You'll be able to see all that. And you know, when I got done, of course, he said, I didn't say much. He said, but I saw what you're saying. He said, I didn't get a chance to say anything much. But you see, it goes back to what Daryl Scott said on that day that he arrived at the school and one of his children was taken and one was spared. Daryl said, on that day, I learned to be a see-through-er, not a look-at-her. You need to see through situations in life. You need to see, as the Apostle Paul said, touch my eyes, touch the eyes of my understanding, the eyes on the inside, so I can see more than just what's happening on the outside. That I can see through this situation, not just look at it and cast my opinion, not just react to something, not just an impulsive thing, but understand and be able to see through it and see God's grace. May I encourage you, if you're going to grow in the grace of God, you're going to have to be able to see through things. What you hear on the news today, see through that. What you see going on in the Middle East, the timetable of the world, see through that. That's telling us about the signs of the time. We need to understand the times that we live in, but don't define them by the newscasters of the world. Define it by the Word of God. That's the real thing that we need to come to and understand that and live that. And as I finished up talking with Peter, we just were able to rejoice together that we can be able to see, but we don't pigeonhole people when they have problems. Amen? We just continue to grow by the grace of God because we've all got certain blind spots that we have to overcome. But that will only come as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our heart and in our life. You see, when you begin to really follow the Lord, you're going to find in times like these, there's a lot of inconvenient truth. Truth will set you free. It's the truth you know that will set you free. It's the truth that you will apply that will set you free. We have more Bible knowledge than any people in the world. But so many times, we just have that information. It has not brought the transformation that God wants. We have truth decay in our society today. Truth decay that's come in the body of Christ in so many ways. Listen, following Christ will always involve sacrifice. It's always going to be there. Christ set the example for it. It will always cost you more than you plan to pay, but it'll be worth more than you would ever know of what you'll gain if you'll just follow the Lord. Following Jesus always involves submission, of really understanding how to submit to His love, to fully surrender to all that God wants in your life. When we come to the point that we obey what God has to say, the Scripture says this, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. God is not so interested about our sacrifices, but obedience. But listen, if you don't obey, you really will sacrifice. You will sacrifice the most meaningful things in this life. You will sacrifice the most meaningful relationships, the most meaningful joy that you could ever have in life. Inconvenient truth is when you come to the point of you can't live by your preference. You have to really live by the purpose of the Lord. An understanding of how God will work that in our life requires that we have that vision that's talked about in the book of Proverbs. Without vision, people will perish. You won't understand the purpose that God has. Helen Keller, the famous songwriter, the great Christian lady that touched so many in the world with the love of Jesus Christ, she was asked the question, Helen, is there anything worse than being blind? And she said, oh yes. She said, the worst thing of all is for people who have eyesight but no vision. They can't see. See, so many times the greatest hindrance to vision is sight. We just see circumstantially. We can't understand the grace of God. Matter of fact, I read about a little school that gave an assignment to the students, and the teacher said to the students, said, now here's what I want you to do this next week, and then I want you to report back. I want you to go out at night, and I want you to count all the stars that you can count. And we'll gather the count when we come back next week, and you tell me what you found out. And all the kids were excited to do that. They came back the next week. And little Johnny got up, and Johnny said, I saw 149 stars. And little Susie got up, and she said, oh, I must have counted over 1,000. And then Bobby got up, and Bobby said, I saw 3. And the teacher looked and said, Bobby, how come you only saw 3? Everybody else saw so many. He said, I don't know, teacher. He said, I guess it's because we just got a small backyard. And they had been told to go in the backyard and count. Well, that's all he did. Can I say many of us have a small backyard, and that's all we see, the narrow view. And God's saying, will you just lift up your eyes and look and see and behold and understand what God will do. You begin to see through the circumstances of life. See what God can do by the power of His Spirit. Understand that He can open the eyes of our understanding, begin to see into the invisible, not just the visible things. To understand what God says. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now, I do want to say this. If God said it, it's settled whether I believe it or not. I just benefit if I believe it. Amen? So get in on that benefit. And listen, the church is a place where I want us to come and help one another with the impossible things that we face in life, that we understand the power of the Spirit of God, that we really know what it is to be the kind of church that Jesus talks about, that there's an awakening in our heart to the fact that prayer makes a difference, but people getting together and sharing with one another, getting over problems. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. You'll never get to that depth of understanding if you're not willing to go through some problems, if you're not willing to go through some hurts, brokenness that comes, but healing that happens in the mix of that, because we allow God to come and touch our hearts, change our minds. At times you don't have to be right, just be real. And God shows up in the mix of that. The greatest healing we need is the healing in the body of Christ. The greatest sin in the world today is not what the world is doing. It's what the church is doing. The separation, the schism in the body of Christ. Let me share this with you from a passion that's in my person. There's a passion in my heart because I love the church. I love the church. Why? Because that's why Jesus came for, died for, and is coming again for. I don't see the church as this building, a denomination, an organization. Thank God for the E-Free Church. Thank God for the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church. Any place the gospel is being preached, if we know and love Jesus Christ, if you know the forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're blood kin. If we have the, you know, if we have the same father, you're my brother, you're my sister. That's a real deal. But here I think about what it is to have the courage and conviction of being a church, the kind of church that Jesus talks about, the kind of person. Don't look at others. Don't ever make the church something you're not, because that's what the church is. That's why people have a lot of problems with the church. I don't think that should ever happen in church. Does it happen at your house? See, don't make the church something you're not. That's what the church is. Rick Warren, sitting with us, he said, about all that we read to the people in the Bible, he said, please know, they are us. We now take their place. As he was in the world, so are we today. That's what the Bible says. And we have to live in that way with an understanding and conviction. And when we get the right kind of convictions, then we begin to get character. Listen, I'll argue with people about beliefs, but convictions I'll die for. A conviction forms my character. I have a conviction that's centered upon the Word of God, because I know I'll be judged by the Word one day. It's not going to be by people's opinion. It's not going to be by a Jesus made in our image. It's going to be as Jesus makes us in His image. Let me say this, and I say this because of the fact that I think we've lost our cause in many ways. And see, it's out of great conviction that you'll get courage to do something for Jesus Christ. And you begin to realize, if I'm going to do something for God, it's going to take courage. And it takes courage to speak the name of Jesus today. You can talk about God in a very generic way, but when you get right down to talking about Jesus, people will shut you up in a hurry. Dr. Tony Evans said they asked him to come downtown and speak to the whole community there, and wanted him to pray over the community and ask God to bless the community. But they said, now, Dr. Evans, please don't say anything about Jesus. Just say God. We don't want to offend anybody. And Dr. Tony said, they didn't know who they were asking. And he said, I just went on down, and he said, I just prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, revive us, O Lord. And he didn't do that to put them on the spot. What was in him came out of him. And I want to tell you, the pressure is going to come on us Christians, and I pray when the pressure comes on us, what comes out of us is the person of Jesus Christ, and that we're not ashamed, because if we're not ashamed to confess him before men, he'll not be ashamed to confess us before the Father. And listen, as much as it was at a time that David came, and he looked at the army, the people of Israel. They're all dressed up in their armor, but they were afraid. There was a Goliath standing there defying them, defying their God. That same Goliath is around today defying the church of Jesus Christ to speak in the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you, David walked around, and he went to his brothers, and he said, is there not a cause? You look this up in the book of Samuel. That was his question. Is there not a cause? And he said that to others, and they got ticked off at him. They were mad at him. They thought he was full of pride. But he went, and he didn't have to have a position to do something. Matter of fact, Saul was the one that had a position. He offered him his armor. It wouldn't fit. He gets his sling. He goes out there, and he comes in the name of the Lord of hosts, and he defeats the Goliath of that day. And the whole army is able to rise up then and be able to bring the great victory that was. But there was a cause that caused the courage to come to everybody. And there's a cause that must come back to the church today, and the cause is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The cause is this. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. But listen, that cause has been lost in the eyes of many in the church. This is the Barner Report. This isn't something from our church or a particular denomination. Barner is the best-known research of the church in America overall. And they come up with this. 47% of white evangelicals, 49% of black Protestants, 82% of white mainliners, 84% of white Catholics believe that non-Christian religions can lead to eternal life. Now, that may sound good, and it sounds politically correct to say, well, you know, if we all follow God, it's just the same God. I heard this last week. The same God with many different names. I want to tell you, that's not true in the Word of God. Matter of fact, that's why they crucified Jesus Christ, because he professed to be the Son of God, and he would not take that back. The understanding that he was the way, the truth, not a way. He's the way. There's only one open tomb. The testimony of the open tomb is the difference between Christianity and all the religions of the world. And listen, I say that with great love and passion. There's no put down to any other religion. I know every person is looking and hungering for that relationship with Jesus Christ. That every soul has that God-shaped void in their heart that will never be satisfied till they come to Christ. But church, that's where we have to come in and share the love of God. Not because of some kind of pride or putting down, but all of a passion that somebody paid a price to reach us. First of all, Jesus Christ. And then other people that prayed for us and cared about us, that we would come to know him. And I pray that we would catch that kind of heart for the world, that we would have the courage not to be ashamed of the good news of the gospel, that we would understand to have the kind of courage and passion that would make a difference in this day and hour, that we would reach people, that there comes that fresh anointing upon our hearts, that we wouldn't give in to the weakness of the flesh, but understand the power of the Holy Spirit and come out of our comfort zone to that place that God wants us to be able to experience of his goodness and grace. Listen, you can read this in Judges chapter 16, verse 20. About a man who was raised up, great man of God, spirit of God upon him, so strong. His name is Samson. You know the story. And immediately when you think of Samson, you think of who? Delilah. And you realize that he was a man that had a covenant with God. But he broke that covenant. He played games with it. His cause no longer captured his heart. The cause of his covenant with God. And he played with the world. And you'll remember he lied and denied things to Delilah and tricked it, and she would bind him because she wanted to know the source of his strength. Can I tell you something? The world wants to know the source of the strength of the church of the living God. And the source of the strength of the church of the living God that turned the world upside down in the book of Acts, going back 2,000 years to when the church, the second body of Christ, was birthed. That's an understanding of the strength was there because they would not deny Christ. They would stand and believe for him no matter what the cost. That's happening all around the world. One of the greatest revivals in the world today is in China. It's all underground. You can't see it. But people are giving their life. More people have died the death of a martyr since 1948 than in all of church history. People pay that price all the time. Why? The cause is so great. The cause is not just about me getting saved and going to heaven. You're captured with a passion about other people that will be lost for eternity if we don't reach them. That 1.8 billion people. God has us here to be able to do everything possible to reach them with a passion of his person so they can be saved for eternity. But listen, Samson played around with that, and one day he gave away the source of the truth of what had his strength. But here's an amazing thing. It says he rose up. She said, the enemy's on you, and he rose up. And it says he wist not, he knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Can I say that many Christians and many churches don't know the Spirit of the Lord has departed, not because he wanted to, but we no longer cherished him. We no longer lift in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, the only way, the truth, the life, that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's been lost, and we don't even know it many times. There's two forms of ignorance, what I don't know and what I do know, but it ain't so. And there's a lot of people, what they do know ain't so. And I'm not using bad English. I'm just telling you of a bad thing. Of the fact that so many people think it's just being nice. Listen, one of the greatest things causing people to be lost today is we think good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. I got to tell you something. Good people don't go to heaven. Bad people don't go to heaven. Only saved people go to heaven. You have to know Jesus Christ. I was religious. I knew all about that. I know what it is to go to church and not have a relationship with God. But when you come to know him, oh, what a difference. And that's what I pray that can be. And Church of the Open Door, I pray that we can open our heart for all that God wants to do. I pray that in times like these, that we can stand and proclaim his name and be able to love people and care about them, not in a judgmental or critical way or a condemning way, none of that, but reveal the love of God that's been put in our heart. The Holy Spirit wants to bring that about. And listen, you make all the difference. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants us to understand that. In times like these, I need convictions that are stronger than my fears. I need vision that's clearer than my doubts. I need spiritual sensitivity that's louder than popular opinion. I need self-esteem that's greater than my self-protection. I need appreciation for discipline that's greater than my desire. I need spiritual dissatisfaction so I will not be satisfied with the status quo, and poise that's greater than my panic, and risk-taking whatever I need to do instead of safety-seeking, and obedience that's greater than my opinion. In Jesus' name, grant that. 1 Peter 4:17, the time has come. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. Lord Jesus, help us know that's not this building. The house of the Lord is a temple of your spirit. And the Apostle Paul said, know you not that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You reside in our heart. Lord, I've said what I've said today with mixed emotions and passion. I don't even know if I got it said with words right. I do realize, Lord, I only make sounds and you make sense out of it. I pray, Lord, that you'll make sense out of the times that we live in now so that we can see through and do what you desire to, Lord. God, that we would not just be people that go around and look like the rest of the world and listen to the news and talk about what's going on. I pray, Lord, that we could humble our heart. And Lord God, that we could say to people, you can talk about me all you please. I'll talk about you on my knees. I pray, God, that we would not look with condemnation at any person, any religion, but God, that we do get a love and a passion that was in your person that caused you to press in, press in, and press in, because eternity is too long to be wrong. Spirit of God, awaken our hearts to what hangs in the balance. This isn't about a preference, Lord. This isn't about just winning our way, but God, it's coming your way. Make that real in our heart. And I want to ask, as we're praying right now, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord, or you did at one point in your life, but you've lost that passion, and you want to get it back today, I want to ask right where you're seated, do you slip your hand up, signifying you're lifting your heart with your hand, and God by the Spirit will touch you. I'm not asking to join the church or get religion, but a relationship with God that's real. If that's a need in your heart, slip your hand up. I'll just agree with you. My brother in the back, I see your hand. God sees your heart.